So I'm sitting here today with a handful of my best friends, and we want to tell you a story. It happened in November of 2010. We were all part of a very special team called the Curiosidades team. It's a team of some of the best magicians that I know. It starts with BJ Bueno, Aaron Fisher, Wayne Houchin, Daniel Garcia, Dan White, Armando Lucero. We've got Salim, which is BJ's brother, who's on the business team. Reggie was on the business team. Aaron Shields. No, but we were in the Dominican because we were going to perform two live shows on the stage of the theater, the major casino in the Dominican called the Fiesta Theater.
La Fiesta.
And basically, we were trying to find our customers, our consumers, were people who loved art. And there's a whole bunch of them in the Dominican. And that's why we kind of targeted the Dominican. And there's no magic over there. So really, we were kind of breaking new ground. And so what we did was we had a huge media run. We had about 18 television shows that led up to two live performances. And in that media run, something happened, something really special. And I've been in magic my entire life. My father's a magician, as most of you know. And I've never been part of something like this before. This was so surreal in such a magical way. And when you hear this story, when everyone listening right now hears this story, you're going to think it's exaggerated. You're going to think it's a load of shit. And I'm here to tell you that you might think that,
language.
But you're going to watch the YouTube clip. We've actually filmed it so you can see it. And it's there. It's real. And every time I watch it, I get the chills. So let me give you a little more about what Curiosidades was. It was this live show with 18 media spots.
How many?
18 media spots.
How many?
18.
How many was that a day, do you recall?
There was at least four a day, three, four a day.
Wait,
was...
do we even wake up early in the morning to go to TV studios to do these
like
things?
Like 8 a.m.
Oh, my. But what time do you have to wake up to do a TV show at 8 a.m.?
Yeah.
Early. This was national TV.
That's right. Well, it's syndicated out to all the other Spanish-speaking countries as well.
Right.
Actually, it also goes out of the country, too. It's like my uncles in Puerto Rico were looking at us like in other countries. Satellite TV across like Europe, too.
So this was a big deal.
This was huge.
It was crazy.
And we couldn't understand a word they were saying.
No, because most of us don't speak Spanish, and that's probably going to change in the next year or two or three.
Like, probably. That's what they always say. Incidentally, everyone comes home from doing magic in a Spanish-speaking country going, oh, I will study Spanish this year. I will study for real. This will be the year. And then a year passes.
So let me...
Oh, sorry.
Let me set the stage a little bit more. let me set the stage a little bit more.
Looks so funny.
I thought we were here to tell a story.
Aaron and Wayne are coming from the West Coast. The majority of us are coming from the East Coast of the United States. And so for everyone in Florida or everyone in New York City, it was kind of easy to get to the Dominican. It's a 2 or 3 hour flight, no problem. But coming from the West Coast, that's a little more difficult. So they have to fly from, I think you guys would fly from San Francisco, would you fly out of?
I think so, yeah.
So San Francisco, did you stopped in Houston?
Something like that.
Stopped in Houston, had a little layover, flew to Miami, had another layover, then flew to... it's a brutal travel from the West Coast, no doubt. So those guys came a day later, and that's kind of integral to the story that we're going to tell in a moment. So keep that in mind, that Wayne and Aaron were on a plane while some of this was starting to build.
Rehearsing the show in a live, a live theater.
Right, they had a great excuse. They had a great excuse.
Right. We did a show in California.
So these guys are in California doing their thing. The rest of us are in the Dominican. We're starting to perform on these television shows. And these shows, if you watch Spanish television, it's exactly what we were on. I mean, there's five hosts. There's a million things happening in the studio. There's a live band over here. They're cutting back and forth. It's mayhem.
Don't tell them about the women.
It's absolutely madness. And
tell them about the dancers. Yes, the host, solid gold dancers. The
host,
every show.
Every host is voluptuous. I mean, it's exactly what you'd see if you turn on Spanish television, Telemundo, for instance. And it's a trip. It's really, really great to be part of.
That first show with all the kids.
Yeah, so we get to this first show at the, was it Channel 9?
Teen Club? Happy Teen Club Society?
No, that was Happy Teen. That was like the
you
third.
You were part of Happy Teen, right?
That was our first
show. No, this first show. The first show was on Sunday.
Right, and we didn't tell this man that he was going to get thrown in the next, and we're like, just let him see.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. So the first show was on Sunday. There was like 5 or 6 of us there. Again, Wayne and Aaron were flying down. So they weren't there. They were
taking
in the
it greasy. We were hanging out. We were eating Eagle snacks and Coach.
And these TV shows, basically, they say, okay, listen, you're gonna stand right here. The camera's gonna turn on. We're gonna ask you a question. You're gonna do some magic. Camera's gonna turn off, and that's gonna be it. It's easy peasy. And that's how it was for most of the shows. But there was a few shows that threw us for a loop. And Happy Team was one of them, like these guys were just talking about. And Happy Team, what was interesting about them was it was an hour-long show, and we got there, and they said to BJ, okay, guess what? You're the show. Go! Yeah. And, you know, listen, doing 5 minutes on television is one thing. Doing an hour straight, that's another thing.
I literally watched BJ here make up things to say in extreme close-up, like Ryan Seacrest on the MTV Video Awards, about this show. Was talking a blue streak.
We were on a sports show. We were on a show with a transvestite. It was insanity. It was absolutely insanity. So, like I said, this first show we did, it was pretty lax. They had a live audience of about 50, 60 kids from ages, I'd say 15 to 20, and they were directly behind us, and the cameras were in front of us, and you know the mariachi band was in front of them. And it was a crazy studio. Cameras were on. They were moving all around. They had booms moving up and down. It's exactly what you'd think it was. And this was the first TV show, and it went off without hitch. And I knew right then that, you know, this is going to be really cool. I've done a few TV spots in my time, but I've never done 18 back-to-back like this. And the opportunities that came from this were unbelievable. And you'll hear as we start to progress into this story, because I'm trying to save the best for last. Like, again, there was something we were part of that was so special that even as I say it, I'm getting goosebumps.
Can I just say, Mr. Goosebumps?
Yes.
The transvestites were magical, it's true. But really, that's not the part you're talking
about. That's not the part I'm talking about.
Okay. I saw your bumps.
So, okay, there so we've bumps. Done a couple of shows, and now we're doing this one show called...
The show was called El Show del Mediodía.
Thank you. El Show del
Mediodía.
Mediodía.
The Noon Show.
The Noon Show, right. It was like the Today Show for the Dominican. And they had how many viewers?
Like around, probably like 5 million viewers. That's a pretty big...
Okay, this was a heavy-duty show. And so...
That's probably like one of their best running outside of Freddie, probably, for that station.
Okay.
It's pretty high.
So we arrive.
High reach.
We get there. And this was different than any of the other shows so far because it was a little more tense. We were told this was a big one, which, you know, added to... The pressure, but...
We walked in, and let me just say from my own perspective, it was a big one. It was a very large...
But this was the day before you got there.
Oh, okay. Same set, though.
Same set, but this is the day before Wayne and Aaron arrived, and that's important. That's important to the order of the story. So, we get there. Like I said, the producer walks up to us and casually explains that we have 5 minutes. And by the way, we're watching the ratings, and if the ratings dip, we're going to pull you off in the middle of your 5 minutes.
Which we get the ratings updates every 5 to 10 seconds.
Yeah, and they are watching the ratings live.
Break a leg, boys.
And I personally have never been thrown in a situation like that where they say, listen, if you suck, we're pulling you right off. And that's heavy duty. I mean, I've decided that I'm not going to do that card trick now. That really kind of focuses on what kind of material you want to perform if you only have that amount of time and...
It's a good time to hang out with Dan Garcia and a shitload of flash paper.
It makes you think about the material you have to perform. So what we did was we pushed Armando Lucero forward, and we made him do this routine with very colorful balls and music, and it's great. I mean, it's really stellar. And meanwhile, when he's doing that, we all sat there and tried to figure out what we were going to do, because we had 5 minutes, but we wanted to stay the entire show. So here's where it starts. Here's where it gets crazy. So we're sitting there. BJ and a handful of the guys are on the stage. I'm standing back behind the cameras with Reggie and Salim. And I realize that if we tell the show that we're going to do something really big, something really impressive, and it's only going to happen at the end of the show, this is going to improve our chances of being asked to stay for the entire show instead of saying 5 minutes, okay, you're over, goodbye.
And this was your moment.
I just
want to say this was when I finally heard about this. Did you hear what Lee did? Lee called an audible. It was a very Joe Montana experience of watching a man throw a ball. Like, how could he have thrown that ball? They were all going to hit him. And Lee, okay, seriously, wasn't during a commercial break that you had your brainstorm roll
yes.
up one-air people and
yes.
like, here's what you're going to do. Do this.
Yes. Well, the way that we were filming in the studio was they were shooting in all the entire... If you imagine a square, they're shooting in the upper left corner, now they're shooting in the lower right corner, now they're moving to the center, now they're moving to the upper right corner. They're shooting all over this little room. So when the camera wasn't on the magicians, is when I approached them and said, okay, guys, this is what we're going to do. We are going to stop time on the island of the Dominican.
And they were like, do you have a method?
And everyone looked at me like I was insane. And the first thing out of everyone's mouth was... Do you have a method?
I'm sorry.
And the deal is, you know, listen, we've got 45 minutes till the show is over. We don't need a method right now. We just have to...
We need an effect!
We have to convince them that we need to stick around for the end of the show, and then we'll figure it out during the time that it takes.
And that was when BJ went, I see it, I have confidence, let's try that.
Basically. So the group that was sitting on stage, they talked about it for a moment or two, and they decided, okay, yes, you're right. We need to stick around, and we'll figure out how to do it during the time.
It's better to fail in the second 45 minutes that we're on screen.
And it's so you don't think about it. You don't think about it in a situation like that. It's just you do it. You go.
So Lee, what day are we in right now?
We're still in the first day.
And about what part of the first day?
I'm telling you.
He just had his brainstorm.
You just said
to him, "Do you have a method?" And he just went, "Don't worry about that." And you went, "Okay." And then what happened?
Well, no, but you should point out, too, that because when Reggie tells the story, he has a very funny perspective on you coming up to him, and the way he describes it is like you're looking for permission.
Well, yeah,
you're telling Reggie, which, of course, Reggie, you know, doesn't know any magic.
Reggie's standing there with the camera going, "Hey, man."
And he's like, "That sounds great.
That's awesome, man. You really should do that. You got it worked out? You know how?"
No.
He's like, "No."
No, Reggie didn't even ask. Reggie basically says, like,
"Magic.
Bro, that sounds great.
That's great.
Go ahead. Go stop Tyler. Go do it. If you say you can do it."
Well, I'm trying to convince myself that this is the right idea.
Right, no, but Reggie's perspective was almost like if you are, you know, like...
I'm asking permission.
Exactly. And then Reggie, of course, is just basically like, "Sounds great. Go for it.
I'll see you guys at the club afterwards. I will have the tables ready."
Well, the theme among everyone seemed to be like, "Do you have a method?" And right at that point, you know, I thought to myself, the method's not important right now. It's getting the TV station to agree that they want to keep us for the 45 minutes was the most important part.
Really did become a mentalist. You said method?
Yeah.
Which method?
Yeah.
What do I need a method for?
We'll come up with
show business.
We'll figure that out. I'm trying to get us to stay on the show because if 5 million people are watching us, we need to be on the show as much as possible.
And then for 5 days, we couldn't get a call through to Burgless.
So I turn around, I'm trying to talk my way through the idea. Reg says yes, everyone says yes. I turn around to our translator and say to her, "Please tell the producer that we are going to stop time on television. If they keep us to the end of the show, we're only going to do it at the end of the show, we are going to stop time on the entire island of the Dominican." Now before she finishes translating this to him, he's on the main microphone telling the entire studio, "We're going to stop time." So we went from pitching the idea to the group to actually having the idea on national television in under 3 minutes. And that, like I say, I've never been part of anything like this. And this is, they're
announcing it. They're telling the viewing public
they are absolutely
exactly what the
it.
Effect is, so, which can be bad.
I don't know where you guys are in the story, but to me the very next particularly hilarious thing that happened was, I mean, to me, in old jump cuts now.
Yeah.
To the car on the way to the studio. No one really knows how
no,
to
no, no, wait, wait, no, wait, no, wait, 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 wait. You're missing a big part. We're missing a big, because you guys haven't landed yet, remember.
I haven't landed yet.
No, you have not landed yet. You
Maybe
are
I have real. Landed, but I'm actually sitting in the airport for 7 hours before we're arriving.
So, the entire television,
that's a story.
The entire station is now, like, buzzing with amazing, you know, they're freaked out that we're going to stop time. And now is when we have, that's when the 45 minutes kicks in and we're trying to figure out our method. And as BJ says, there's a very high IQ, magic IQ, this group. And so we start brainstorming. We start talking. What about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? How about this? What about this? What about this? And it was the ideas that were thrown out were amazing. Really genuine, great ideas.
And, you know, if we had the $10 billion.
Right. Well, obviously there was a lot of ideas that were out of our abilities and ranges in the 45 minutes we had. But so what we did was we decided that Dan White was the tallest, the most serious looking, and the one that could probably pull it off without laughing to 5 million people. And so we kind of said to him, "Hey, Dan, listen, we know you've never done this before, but we need you to stop time on the island of the Dominican."
And he's like, "Cool."
Yeah, and he's, you know what? Like a champ, he said, "Absolutely, man, this is going to be great." So again, in the 45 minutes we have to do this, we're starting to figure out how we're going to do it, the method. And during this time, Armando Lucero, God bless him, stands up and walks next to one of the hosts while they're not filming and actually slips a duplicate card into his pocket without him knowing.
"Hey, I thought that was magic."
Yes. And I mean, it was in a moment of brilliance. He stands up and he slips a duplicate card in the guy's pocket without him knowing. And now he comes back.
Wait. The guy had tight pants, bro.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, all the hosts had tight pants.
Dude, seriously, no, Armando was like the Superman.
I was like, he can't slip it in there.
Seriously?
Those were tight pants.
Yeah, the pressures that were there were impressive that he got that card in that guy's pocket. So now he comes back to the group and he explains, hey, I've got a duplicate card in the pocket. We've got to take advantage of that. So now we're juggling stopping time and a card actually traveling to the host's pocket.
After the announcement.
After the announcement, they have been bumping this entire thing. Every time they go to commercial break, they're like, and by the way, don't leave. Get close to your television sets. The magicians are going to stop time. And remember, it's all in Spanish, and the majority of us don't speak Spanish. So, and that kind of helped, I bet, because if I kept hearing that over and over, it probably would have gotten to me by the end, and I would have been really freaked out and nervous to do this.
Still concerned because there was no method. Primarily.
There was no method right now. Like we were still juggling.
At this moment, it just sounds like a great trick, and we're wondering how the guys are going to do it.
And we don't know yet.
Except it's them. Right?
So, what happens is we don't realize that they're only giving us about 3 minutes at the end of the show. So
that's
here it
not
is.
Near enough time to stop time.
No, and we don't realize that. So what happens is Dan White steps forward. Armando starts to go into his routine because the idea is that he's going to reveal the card in the man's pocket, and then we're going to stop time. So here he goes. He has the card for us. We're moving into it, and all of a sudden, the lights come on, the studio stops, and what happens is we've run out of time. We haven't stopped time. We haven't even revealed that the guy has the card in his pocket. And I think in any other country, in any other... you know, English-speaking country, this would have been it, man. We would have been finished. That was our chance, and we blew it.
If we were an English-speaking country, they wouldn't have let us on in the first
place. But seriously, like, if we were in any other country, that we blew our shot. We didn't get to it, and we lost it. But because we're in the Dominican, and because it became such, like, an amazing buzz in this studio, they had to have us back tomorrow to do it. So they said to us, you have to come back tomorrow and you have to stop time. And which we said, we'd love to, but we can only do it at the end of the show.
I feel like that's exactly how this podcast is about to turn out. And we're out of time.
No, we're not out of time. We're going to tell the story. We're going to tell the story.
Really?
We're going to tell the entire story.
Are we in the third part yet?
No, we're getting there.
Which disc?
So here we go. So now we have 24 hours to figure out a method and to build up the pattern and really to work this thing out. So now, here it is.
The fun began.
Wayne and Aaron land. They have now come off the plane of this hellacious trip.
Wayne and Aaron land, and then there's the 7 hours that we hung out.
Yeah, and they hung out at the airport because we didn't pick them up in time.
But I want credit at this moment for the thing that I did.
So we picked them up.
I bathed.
We get them back to the hotel, and now we have an hour show. We have
the airport.
We have an hour show to perform that night. And these guys come off the plane again. They've been traveling umpteen hours. Wayne and Fran are both very tired, and they say to us, in the most gracious way possible, guys, we'd love to be on the show, but we have to go to bed.
But not me.
We have got to sleep because this was a very long trip for us. And so we're, of course, you know, please go to bed, have fun. And Aaron, are you coming with us? And Aaron did.
Dressed.
This man jumped in the deep end with us, and we got back in the car. And
I got naked in baggage claim.
Okay. He did. No, it wasn't baggage claim. It was in the middle of the restaurant in the airport. Now, here's the thing. Before we go to bed, BJ says to me, Lee told the television studio we're going to stop time tomorrow on national TV, so they're announcing it. Good night. I looked at him and I said, what? That's awesome. Who's going to do it? We don't know. How are you going to do it? We don't know. Good night.
Right. Because we had the entire night, and it was definitely a sleepless night to figure out how we were going to pull this off.
Right.
So the next morning, we'll cut to the next morning, we wake up, and we have to be at the studio at about 10:30 in the morning to start the show at noon. And again, we're not going to really do our piece until the end of the show at about 12:45.
Fran and I go to bed that night, all right, and we order some food, and we're finally relaxing, and I start to write down, because BJ had mentioned to me the time stop, so I start to write down ideas for the pattern. And I end up with a script. I have a pretty decent script, a thing that kind of checks all the lists, because Banachek was a very good friend of mine when I was younger, and I was familiar with this kind of stuff.
What happened between you guys?
Well, we're still good friends.
But also when you were younger.
But you're older now.
Right. Yeah. And so we're in the car, we're going to the studio, nothing's been decided yet, and I think Armando's in the front seat, Aaron's next to me. And I tell them the idea. I say, so whoever does this, they need to say this, they need to do this, then they need to say this, because this will do this.
This is exactly right. And because Wayne was the only one who knew exactly how to do it. So here's what you guys are going to do.
Right.
And he mapped it all out, and everyone was like, great! Who goes, Wayne does it? And he was like, ah!
Well, he was the only one that had a full
night's
sleep.
He had the whole vision, and he was directing the whole thing. He said, all right, here's what's going to happen. He's going to go out, and you're going to paint this picture, and you're going to put a little red over here, a little blue up there, a little back shading, a little front shading. It's going to be beautiful. You guys are going to be great. All right, who's going to do it? And everyone's just, like, laughing at this point, because Wayne just, like, completely volunteered. It was really, it was like, Wayne, where have you been my whole life? You time stopper, you.
So we get to the studio. And every time we get there, we usually have to sign in and we have to wait out front for someone to come get us. Well, this time when we get there, things were a little different. There was kind of this, like I said, there was a buzz about the building where everyone knew we were the magicians. Everyone knew we were going to stop time. So when we got there, they just said, please, walk right through. Go to where you need to be. You are the magicians. So it kind of felt like we started to own the place, which I think helped for what we were about to do. So we get into the studio. And again, the studio, it's like a square, and they're filming all over it. And the day before, there was about, I'd say about 40 people, and that includes the hosts and all the guests that were there and the people that were filming in the backstage and whatnot. But this day, the next day we got there, there was probably about 100 people in this room because they had come from all over to see this because it became legendary overnight. It really did. And so here we are. We're standing there. We've got somewhat of a method, but the ideas are still coming to us. Like, for instance, one idea that came out was that we need to find some balloons because when it happens, we're going to pop some balloons. We're going to make loud noises. That was an idea that came out right near the end. And Dan White was looking for a plug to unplug the lights.
That's a funny story. All right. Yeah. So I'm, you know, we're sitting there, we're waiting, they're announcing it on air. I'm sitting there. I came up with like a little mnemonic to remember the script, everything that needed to happen. And I see Dan walking next to me, and he's just like looking at the floor, just kind of staring around, walking around, looking at the floor. And so I said, what are you looking for? And he looks at me and he says, looking for something to unplug at an opportune moment. I went, oh, that's a great idea.
But in most television studios, they don't have cords on the floor because they're moving cameras all over the place. So a lot of the lights are plugged in from the top.
So are we telling like the whole story, like how
we did? Yeah. We're actually like literally talking to the point of like, and on the third day, we created the method.
No, I know.
The toads and the
nuts. I'm trying to paint the picture for my people.
No, we're actually all curious to know if you're about to expose the method of the finest miracle any of us have ever been a part of.
A lot of people are fooled by
and we personally, I'm sitting here getting upset as I'm beginning to realize the extent to which you're about to share our secrets!
You don't want part of the method, but you were back there with you guys, there's a lot of methods.
There's like an ocean well joint.
I'm not trying to explain the method, I'm just trying to paint the picture for my people.
Case in point, I will say,
we're not going to explain how we stopped time.
No idea if this was going to work at all. Some of us weren't so aware of all the things that were being done on the outside. We're just on camera wondering if any of us would live.
So,
and take a look at our face in the clip, and you'll see a bunch of people going, "I don't know."
including me, because again, I've stood there the entire time. With this air of confidence, like, we are going to do this, and we are going to stop time, and it is going to work. Because I think if I came with if I came with some type of questioning, like, oh, I'm not sure if this is going to work, it wouldn't have worked. It was the confidence, I think, that was part of the sell. Like, no, guys, this is going to work. So I'm not going to tell
everyone.
That was
part of you selling us.
Yeah, well, that's
so
hey.
So we didn't start to cry.
Hey. But I'm not going to tip them out.
That's a good point, but one thing that you could throw in there is that, like, if you look at some of the discussion on YouTube, even for some magic people, they're really actually saying they should try to claim Randy's price, and other people have had to clarify.
Oh, yeah, sure. I've got notes from magicians that aren't really sure what we did.
I'm starting to think, though, of no magicians.
No, yeah, some people have had to clarify. Yeah, we did it,
well,
like,
I didn't. My purpose wasn't to tip the method. I just wanted to paint the picture.
So they got enough of an idea.
Because there was a lot of things that were happening that day. It was pretty hectic before we actually stepped on camera.
Exposure is a very serious offense in magic.
Yes.
Right.
I don't know if you did.
Yeah, I was trying. We have friends on the forums that are there to make sure.
The magic police will find you.
And you know what?
They have knocked on my door several times.
I'm going to help them. Tell them where you live.
Okay, so here we go. So now we're again, every time they go to commercial, every time the hosts are talking to a new person, they are talking about how the magicians are going to stop time. They must have said it 1,000 times by the time we actually took the stage. So this time now, they left us 15 minutes instead of 3 minutes. And meanwhile, during the 45 minutes before we got on stage, they'd have BJ Bueno step up there and explain what, you know, a little bit about what was going to happen. So each time he'd, you know, tell a little bit more of the story before we got there. So
there was a lot of selling ahead. Yeah. Little tidbits. I would talk to Wayne and to you, and you guys were like, okay, if you have a heart condition, do not do this. There was like
Right.
We had casting
and that was part of the strategy. Yeah. I mean, and there was a lot that went on in that went into it psychologically, both in terms of the performance and the presentation, but also in terms of setting up the crew there, because the people behind the cameras, I mean, they were just as blown away as everybody else. The TV crew and the hosts.
The hosts.
And so there's a lot of kind of psychologically directing them to where they needed to be in order to maximize our impact.
Right. Right, we had to get them.
It was kind of fun because the effect really did become something that everyone in there experienced too.
Yeah, and you know, I think that was such a great moment when BJ, because I remember this, BJ goes to the host, the guy who, one of the guys hosting the show, there were two hosts, but BJ said, you need to tell your viewers that when this does happen, if they have a heart condition or pacemaker, you know, or if they're prone to spells of fainting or whatever it is you said,
we had
you know,
all a bunch of
not to participate. But that happened, you know, they started making that announcement, you know, really long early. Before the actual time stop.
Right. They did most of the selling for us,
right,
for their viewing audience.
Yeah, but that creativity, though, was coming. I was just, you know, you guys were inventing lines, and then any time it was like, because there were so many clips. I mean, like, I rewatched it recently, and I was like, holy crap, like, we were on there, like, back again. Tell us a little more about stopping time.
Make sure that your pacemaker is turned off and your batteries are fresh. Seriously, if you have any children that are afraid of bright lights, have them leave the room. I'm sure people are like wigging out. If you have any electrical devices on in the house, turn them off. And BJ is so serious.
Another thing that we told them to do.
I was totally trying.
And again, this is all based on Uri Geller. Like, Uri Geller really kind of, he paved the path, man. Like, we really did it. Well, I'll tell you what.
I'm not a magician.
When we were sitting there in the studio, I realized, I mean, I knew this for a long time, but I really realized that Uri Geller is a true master. Like, really understood the nuances that make stuff like this really play on television. I mean, just brilliant. So we were walking in his footsteps. And one of the things that we told the viewing audience and everyone is to call into the studio if something happened. So they were flashing the phone number.
Not if something happened. It was very specific. If something happens to your watch, and time stops. Not like
that's what I meant to say. I mean, if your car stops, you should call.
No, I know.
But we'll claim it if you're calling.
It was very specific because it was like if any, you know, it was very. This is either gonna fuck up and not work, or it's gonna work. I think that to me was like some of the tension because we didn't say like some phenomenon like a Forkway band. It was pretty.
Yeah, we were
literal. These dudes are going to stop time.
And so we were flashing the phone number to call in throughout this entire show. And so the viewing audience was primed to call in and to participate if it worked for them. And so 15 minutes, here it is. Here's our 15 minutes. They pull all of us up on stage. And we start with an invisible deck. Dan White performs an invisible deck routine for one of the female hosts. Gets a stellar reaction. And then Wayne steps forward. And I'm going to stop telling the story now because I got to now watch the rest of this as a spectator. So Wayne, please.
Well, at that point, the groundwork had all been laid. You know, the crew was prepared, psychologically prepared for what was happening. We'd done a lot of time, spent a lot of time hyping it up. And I just went right into the presentation that I wrote. And we did it, and I think it really helped that I was speaking English and that BJ was translating it into Spanish for a couple of reasons. I think it added that mystique for the people watching.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, it slowed everything down, and it made the presentation take a little bit longer than it normally would. But I think it was good because the anticipation just kept building. You know, as I'm talking about, due to the nature of television, and the things that might happen, then there's this pause, and he translates, and it just, I could feel the tension building in the studio. And but at the same time, it was still a gamble. I mean, there was nothing guaranteed with this for a lot of different reasons. And so when it actually came down to it, and the hands are out, and everyone put their hands on me, and that was another thing that we didn't plan.
Right, it just happened.
It just was one of those things that kind of happened spontaneously, and it just kind of felt like the whole energy in the studio was, I mean, it was palpable. You could feel it. And so the moment finally
comes.
When
you pan back, just one quick thing. When this moment happened, and there's
the
rubbing the whole studio.
Rubbing the hands.
Everybody was rubbing. Because I watched the new footage. It's pretty cool because you actually see pan back. And everyone's going, shh.
Yeah, the entire studio is rubbing their hands.
I mean, I don't want to skip, but I mean, the end is that people are crying, very emotional for them.
Again,
some people are laughing, like our families, like, I can't believe you guys pulled this off.
Right.
And sorry to jump in here real quick, but I had explained the story the first time to my dad in Boston. They were not there, they just saw the YouTube. And I kind of did it the first time, going, hello, we stopped time. And I was kind of like, you're totally going to get how it works. And my stepbrothers, my whole family was like, how the hell do you guys do that? And then I realized for the first time that people are actually literally fooled. And I'm not saying that magicians won't be fooled, but I think the method is such
a good,
clever method that it really did work. I mean, we stopped firing.
Well, and I think that goes to just the synergy of the group that we had there, how quickly this was able to come together, how many parts were really at work, how many people we had to depend on, and how easily it seemed to just kind of happen.
Like it was meant to be.
Like it was meant to be, right.
Like it was meant to be.
So that moment comes where my hands are out, and the tension had risen, and I say...
But you've asked everyone at home to put their hands against the television.
Right. That was a big part of it, getting them involved. And you know, it would be fun to do a separate podcast at another time to actually talk about the method for the right reasons. But
one of the secret podcasts that we just listen to ourselves.
Yes, me. But anyway, so that moment comes... And didn't know this was going to work out exactly like it did, but as soon as I clapped my hands, the lights in the studio went off, and people freaked. Everybody freaked.
The breakers.
And I was looking around, and they got the lights back on shortly after that. Fortunately, none of the cameras went out or anything.
Yeah. They held their frame. They didn't, you know, cut to commercial break. They held it.
Right. And it was chaotic. There was a moment there where
the host in Spanish. And then he's like, I'm sorry, I came out.
Right.
It's Coño.
So it was chaotic.
You'll hear it in the recording.
And then it kind of slowly started. And it just kind of felt like it built. Because then there was someone in the audience who holds up their watch.
Right. Well, I think the call came in first.
Right.
The host turns around. And I'm standing next to this guy, or, you know, in between this guy, and he turns around and he starts to point to the lighting guys.
Right.
And he's screaming at the lighting guys, you've done this.
Yeah,
and the lighting guys...
camera video?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And the lighting guys are like, no, we have no idea what just happened. We are just as freaked as you are.
There's a little social context here that I can throw in. In Dominican Republic, lights go out all the time. I mean, like, electricity goes out. So when the noise happens and the lights go out, they're like, the breaker shot off.
Right.
So to them, they've heard this before happen, not on command, but it sounded like to them, like, their light breakers went out. And, I mean, they'll see it on the video, but it's interesting to explain that in the Dominican Republic that actually happened, but we did it on command.
It was exactly as if the theater was haunted.
Yeah, it was a
very, very Phantom of the Opera kind of chandelier crashing, lights
at the right moment.
You get the director going, what the? You know, once the director says that.
Right.
So he turns back around and he's looking at Wayne like Wayne is going to vaporize him. Like he is genuinely scared of Wayne. And now the phone calls start coming. And they're like, okay, we've got our first caller. And this was the make or break moment.
We thought it was going to be Celine pretending to be like, hey, girl,
you know. Yeah, we thought that one of our crew was going to call in and, you know, make it work for us. And as soon as we heard the voice, it was this lady calling in and telling us that her watch had stopped. I knew right then and there it had worked. It was a success.
Because we did have a backup. We had
yeah, we
crew
we had
to call in.
That's
in
right.
Case. And the funny thing about it is he couldn't get through.
That's right. He could not get through because
the phone lines were jammed.
The phone lines blew up. And it was a phone call after phone call of people, my watch stopped. My watch is broken. They have stopped my time. This is unbelievable. I have never been part of something so special. Like it just started
pouring in.
And I mean, there was a guy in the studio who came in, like he walked up to the stage and took off his watch and showed the host that his watch right there in the studio stopped. I mean, people were teary-eyed. I mean, it was It became one of the most surreal moments that I have ever been part of.
As we were leaving, later on, as we were leaving the studio, people up front, the receptionist, their watch had stopped.
Right.
I mean, this was...
Now, as we're leaving the studio, we were stopped and told that we would, you know, the executive peoples upstairs would like to meet us. So we were kind of pulled upstairs to meet this, you know, the people who were watching our ratings. And apparently our ratings went off the charts. Like, off the charts. Like, they have not seen ratings like this in a long time. And what was kind of neat was, Uri Geller was on the same show in the 70s, and they were kind of reminiscing about him and saying, like, yeah, Uri was here. So it was really kind of an honor to be on the same show and to kind of do something similar that Uri did.
Geller-esque.
Yeah, it was one of the most special experiences magically that I've ever been part of in my entire life. So we had stopped time in the Dominican, and now we get back to the hotel, and, like, everyone starts to recognize us. We're going out to restaurants. Oh, you're the guys that stopped time. I mean, it became this iconic thing that happened on that island.
I would run into people who would just look at me. You know, people I didn't know in the Dominican Republic, and they'd look at me, and they'd smile, and they'd put their hands out.
I mean, wherever we were going, we were getting recognized because we had stopped time. Now, here's...
Which I will say was pretty awesome.
Here's the rub, though. We still had more television spots to do. And the hard part was... We kind of did the best thing we could possibly do, and, you know, so what do we do now? And so that's for another podcast. That's for another story.
That's when you decided to have me come in and manage the deck.
Right. That's when we said Aaron.
We need something big.
But what I want everyone to do right now is somewhere probably on the page, or if you go to YouTube and type in Curiosidades 2010, there is an actual video of this, what we just spoke about. Only the second day, not the first day. We didn't actually record the first day, but the second day, the real deal, I gave my flip camera to someone in the audience, and I asked them very politely if they would just hold still and keep frame for the entire time, which they did. And it's up there, unedited, and it's beautiful form on YouTube, or like I say, it's probably on the page right here where you're listening to the podcast, and I hope that you enjoy it. We had a spectacular time. I'm so glad that it was recorded. Like, this is something that I'm going to show my great-grandkids and their great-grandkids.
I was just going to say, this is something special that all of us are going to remember.
This is something we're going to talk about forever. If you come up to us at a convention or at a lecture, if you just see us and you want to talk about it, I'm sure that we would love to talk about it.
Yeah, it's a lot of little...
Because every time I tell the story, it reminds me of how great it was, and it kind of lets me live vicariously through the moment again. So there it is. That's the Dominican story. And there was a bazillion other things that happened. But we'll save those for another podcast at another time. But thank you guys for, you know, rehashing the story again.
And Lee, thank you for having the best idea that terrified us, made us pee our pants.
Right.
You know what? It's about leaving your comfort zone, man. You leave your comfort zone, you'll amazing things will happen.
Yeah, it's always great when pants leave our comfort zone.
I love leaving your comfort zone.
It's always best when Lee removes your comfort zone from your bodily and pushes you in front of the
train. You guys,
we're going to stop time. What?
I mean, you guys.
Yeah, not me. No. Listen, I'm just the idea guy.
No, to be fair, I didn't stand there with my hand upon Wayne.
Yeah. No, I rubbed my hands.
I did.
That's right.
But you know what? I did the energy, and this was so funny because, like, Garcia and me were standing, like, on the same plateau, like, you know, like, in the same layer of the grouping. You know what I mean? So I had eye contact with him. So during that moment when we were all going... This could be my last moment ever. This is about to be conceivably the most embarrassing thing I will ever do. And so that's when you're like, we better sell it. And I don't remember with Danny, we were right around the exact same time, we both just were like, we said, we need some activity in this bitch. And so we just started clapping our hands and started like, we need to start a fire. Like, there's like some palpable energy that must take place. And meanwhile, there's just this one moment when I just like peripherally glanced at Danny and he glanced at me, just our left eye, you know, my left eye and his right eye. And it was both like, this could be the end of our career.
I won't lie. I had a defeat speech prepared. Like, guys, I'm so sorry. I just wanted to keep us on the show longer. That wasn't my intention. I didn't mean to put us in the deepest of the deepest ends. But no, look.
You seriously prepared a failure speech?
If you watch the video, when you watch the YouTube clip, and the caller calls in, and we hear the woman's voice, look at my face. I don't remember. I don't know the actual number on it, the time on it. It's probably in like the 8-minute range, probably the 6-minute range. But look at my face when the first caller calls in, and you will see. the look on my face that tells me that, ah, it worked, I can forget the defeat speech. Because I'm standing there the entire time thinking, okay, I'm going to tell them that I'm really sorry, and I really didn't mean to do it like this. But, all right, well, that's the Dominican story. I thank you all for listening. If you have any questions, you know how to get a hold of us. And thank you for listening.